I know you're all ready to hear. But the question I meant is, are you ready to obey? Shall we pray? Father, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that I might know you better. Lord, open the eyes of my heart, that I might see you seated in your glory, O Master. And awe and reverence will arise in my heart. And I will make a choice today, Lord, to obey you. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There we are with the Ten Commandments. There we are with the Ten Commandments. For the past quite number of weeks, we've been journeying through the book of Exodus. If you can't hear me at the back, you will have to tell. Just show your hand. Titu, you are in charge, okay? There's an echo. Okay. We've been going through the book of Exodus, and Exodus talked about coming out. And many of us need to come out of our situation so that we will be able to serve our God better, worship Him better, praise Him better, because He's called us that we might be His priests. The calling is to priesthood. We have been saved to become the priests of the living God. The book of Peter will say, we are a royal priesthood, a chosen people, a peculiar people, called out of darkness into His light to declare His praises. And there are so many things that are barriers, hurdles in our life in declaring His praises. And Exodus talks about a people who have been brought out but could not declare His praises. They failed in declaring His praises. Salvation is the process by which God brings you and me out from the land of sin, from the land of bondage. But in the wilderness, He teaches us, if we are willing to obey, how we can be productive citizens in the kingdom of God. Amen? And the last few weeks, we've been looking at the Ten Commandments. And there, Moses was given the Ten Commandments, and he came down that mountain carrying those two tablets of stone. And the last few weeks, we looked at the commandments written in the first stone. And the first stone, the four commandments, dealt with God. And the next six on the other stone dealt with man. Deals with our relationship with man. But you must remember that God talks about our relationship first with Him. The first four commandments in the Bible are held together by the first one. I am the Lord thy God, and you shall have no other gods before me. That's what holds the other three together. It's in that order. And now when we become social beings and we react and communicate and fellowship with a whole lot of other people, the next six begins with commandment number five, which says, honor your father and mother. That holds the next five together. If you don't begin with commandment number 5, you're going to fail in 6, 7, 8, 9 and 10. Because it all begins in the home. And therefore home and the family is the most attacked institution today in the world. That's why we will see in the first world, as they call themselves, I don't know which is the second world. We hear about the first world and the third world. I don't know, somebody got lost in between. Okay. They are redefining the concept about a family, about a marriage. You need to understand why. You don't think that these things are happening in random. There is a plan and a purpose of the enemy to break down every order of God. The first commandment God says is that, I am the Lord thy God, you shall have no other gods before me. So the first lie of the enemy is, that's not true. If you eat the fruit, you will be God. He is not the only God. You also can be God. Meaning a life where you say, I don't have to depend upon God. I can make my choices, my decision. I'll be the God of my life. That's the alternative the enemy gave, and a whole lot of people, probably the majority in the world, have swallowed that bait, and today they run their lives and they refuse to acknowledge the lordship of God in their lives. And then you come to the second set of rules, and it begins at home, because we all began at home. Nobody was here a full grown adult. Adam and Eve aren't here today, no. The rest all began as babies, and it began at home. And the norms of the society, the kingdom of God, begins at home. And therefore the enemy has been attacking the concept of home, the concept about a family, all these years, down the centuries. So now you have even the highest court of so many countries redefining marriage, no longer between a man and a woman, but between two persons. And you need to understand this fact. There are so many children growing up in different parts of the world who have two fathers and no mom, or two mothers and no father, because an alternate lifestyle has been made acceptable by courts and parliaments against the face of the living God. You know what is going to happen as a result? Not that it has going to happen, it's already happened. What's happening is you will have chaos in this society, because we are going against God's approved order. Because He is the one who said right there in the book of Genesis, He made them male and female. Okay. You need to realize we are under everything that you and I believe are under constant attack. We have moved from what is called the sacred to the secular. And we are upholding, without even realizing, secular values over the values of God. We have made secularism as the religion of today in most parts of the world. And therefore, when we face issues like that, we will see that we are under pressure. We are under pressure. You need to realize, because we are talking about the family, and we think it's not come here. It came here last week in the Supreme Court of India. When there is a case that is going on about legalizing gay rights, and the justices in the highest court in the land said, don't bring your religious textbooks here. We want to know what science says about homosexuality. We think we are safe because of our traditions of our forefathers. I'm telling you, as the enemy also keeps on rolling, no traditions are safe. Because once the court makes an order and changes it, it becomes the law of the land. You need to realize what exactly happened in the West. What happened in the West, you had a massive Christian culture imposed all over Europe and America and everywhere. And then these fringe groups were there, what we say in English, they were in the closet. If you were, see, I'm not against gays. You need to understand, we are against their lifestyle, we are not against them. We love them. I have had friends who were homosexual, they're nice people. They are nice people, okay, they are very nice, loving people. Only problem is that they will not receive the ministry. Or if their ministry, God sets them free. But you know, we have moved from there to something else, extremely dangerous today. Now what has happened is that they were in the closet once, and you had a Christian culture. And then over the years, they took over, and today now Christians are moving into the closet, and they are speaking on behalf of the mainstream. So even as 2 weeks back, a Christian was found guilty by a court for using terms normal and family connected with a marriage between a man and a woman, saying that you are discriminating between the others by using the term normal and family. We are talking about the countries where it's happening. And around 10 days back, a busload of kindergarten kids were taken for a wedding, where they had to throw flowers and confetti at the wedding of their nursery school class teacher. The only problem was that she was getting married to her girlfriend, and they don't even inform the parents, because by law you don't have to. You need to realize this is happening now, right before our eyes. right before our eyes. Primary school textbooks in UK are being changed with new types of stories so that children will grow up accepting homosexuality as normal. We read fairy tales about the prince meeting the princess and they live happily ever after. No longer in many places where it is now the prince saying, "I don't want to marry the princess, I want to marry my boyfriend," and they live happily ever after. Textbooks are being changed. And we don't realize there is a generation who is growing up who has no idea about God, His holiness, His righteousness, and you are not allowed to speak to them about it by the law of the land. You know what? This is why God destroyed the first civilization at the time of Noah. Because the time of Noah, the people were worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. He killed only, destroyed only two cities when it came to Sodom and Gomorrah, but he destroyed the entire world because the lifestyle had come to that. And Jesus said something. He said, "In the last days, it shall be like in the days of Noah." And all over the world, it's happening. It's happening. And you know, it hasn't come. Probably the next session of the American Congress, it may come. But a bill has been introduced so that you cannot speak against or write against homosexuality. And when they were said, "You shouldn't use that clause for pastors," some of the congressmen said, "We are introducing it just to stop them from speaking." And you know what? If it is passed, then they can go to court and say, "According to the law of the land, we should stop publishing this because this speaks against homosexuality." And they are trying it in countries like Sweden and Norway and all to get this stopped from being published. And you know what? We need to realize something as people, as God's people. These things have happened not because the majority approve of it. This has always happened because the majority have remained silent. The majority has always remained silent, and especially when I'm talking about people, I'm talking about the church. The church was never bothered about these issues. They never went on their knees and asked God, "You need to intervene. Don't have to go around the streets holding placards and all. We need to get on our knees and God will start moving." He is still in control. He has never let go of his sovereignty. He is still in control. Even the heart of the king is in the hand of our God, and he directs it as he pleases. But he does it when his people hit their knees. But we are so, I forgot the name of that guy. That guy was a defector from communist Russia during those days in the 1980s. And he's written a paper on it. He said, "This didn't happen yesterday or today." He said, "It's been happening to me." He said, "Now, he's in US now." And he said, "Soviet Union is gone. But what they set into motion years and years ago is already in place." He said it is in different stages. The first stage, he used the term demoralization. That is, take over the schools, the colleges, the universities, and change the entire concept of morals. That's what demoralization. And that's basically what has happened. You go to any higher institute of learning, even in India, you cannot speak about morals. It's not allowed. Am I right, Shrekana? You cannot, because see, which is from a flu. And I know, I studied there. You cannot speak about it. You are not allowed to speak about morals because there is nothing like morals. They say truth is relative. It's your truth and my truth. So please don't tell me that. But that's why Jesus stood there and said, "I am the truth." Okay. So you have an entire generation growing up, especially in the West and in this country, who are growing up, who have been demoralized. And step two, they said, is destabilize the nations. After demoralization comes destabilize. Because you have all these people in control of institutions, and you need to realize that many of them who are in charge are not righteous, and not godly, and not even secular. They are working according to a plan and a pattern for the Antichrist. And they are restabilizing the economy, they are destabilizing the nation so that he can rise and take over. Step number two, destabilize. And step number three, the rise of the Antichrist. It's in place. It's been working. And the church sadly has been sleeping. Because the only one who can stand there in between to stop God's judgment coming is God's people. That's why before God judged the world during the times of Noah, He took Noah and his family out and then He judged the world. He was planning to judge Sodom and Gomorrah, but there was only one problem. There was one man in that city who was still his righteous. So He couldn't judge that city until He had taken him out. Then He wanted to judge Egypt. Before He could judge Egypt, He took His people out of Egypt. You need to realize that the only ones who can stay God's judgment so that more people come into His kingdom are God's people. That's why God says, I look for one man who'd stand in the gap. And He said, I found none. Please don't think the problems that you pray for are the real issues. They are not. They are nothing for God. They are absolutely nothing for God. Maybe you want a job, you want a raise, you want a promotion, you want money. These are all nothing for God. These are simple things for God. The main issue is the salvation of souls. We are fighting an enemy who neither sleeps nor slumbers like our God. Okay. He is on at work 24/7. Okay, and He is a roaring lion looking for whom He may devour. Okay, and God says, I have given the keys of the kingdom to you. I have given it to you. But it all begins at the home. We will look at this commandment, the fifth one, at two parts. Today, we will look at children. Anybody who is not a child here, we are all children. All are not parents, but everybody sitting here belongs to that category, children. We are all children. So we look at that today. Honor your father and mother. Next week, we look at parents, how parents need to be honorable. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land your God is giving you. It's the only commandment in the Bible, in the Ten Commandments, that comes with a promise and a blessing. He says, honor your father and mother. And then you shall live long. There are many crooks who have lived long. That doesn't mean they honor their father. You need to look at the structure very carefully. He says, you shall live long in the land the Lord shall give you. There is an inheritance which you get from God in life. And there you shall live long. A God says, I am a God who makes you rich, but He adds no trouble to it. When we are looking at rest and peace the last two Sundays, there is a rest which God offers. But it begins at home. All begins at home. A rabbi and an atheist, a Jewish rabbi and an atheist were in the same flight, a long flight. And the rabbi's children and grandchildren, their whole family was, household was in the flight. So they were all coming and asking this old rabbi, what do you need? Do you need this? Do you need this? Do you need extra pillows? They were all this thing. And the atheist was so surprised and he turned around to the rabbi and he said, you know what? Your children and grandchildren really respect and honor you. And the rabbi looked at the atheist and said, you see, for them, I am only one step lower than God. But for your children, you are only one step higher than the apes. Okay. One step higher than the monkeys. That's the difference. But we need to realize that's the truth. If you look into the word, you will see God doesn't say in that commandment, honor your father and mother if they are good. It doesn't say honor your father and mother if they are right. It doesn't say honor your father and mother if they are believers. It's period. Honor your father and mother, period. After talking in the first four commandments about himself, he is giving a command saying, parents, you imbibe my word and walk by that, you will start reflecting me to the toddler, the baby who comes. You will start reflecting it. You are the open windows and doors through which they will understand me. And whatever picture they get, they are going to carry it with them. You know, the actual statistics are there available, which says that in homes where children came from very godly, righteous parents who walked with God and obeyed, most of the children ended up believing God. In homes where parents were not very bothered about God or walking with Him, most of them ended up never believing in God. The two categories of people in the church, they said the maximum number were those who came from godly families and those who were unbelievers and were saved by a special touch of God in some meeting. But the ones who came from Christian families where they did not walk with God, the children very, very rarely accepted God because their hearts were hardened by the time they reached the teens. And God says to us in His word, the children don't belong to us, they belong to Him. He said, children are an inheritance from God, a heritage from God. They came from Him. He told the prophet, even before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. So we need to realize, when we are looking at as children, as parents, and children as parents, God puts a lot of onus on this relationship. And fathers and mothers, you will stand one day before God and give account about your children, whether you brought them to Him or not. And if you didn't bring them to Him, or if you were a stumbling block to bringing your children to Him, God says it's better for that person to tie a millstone around his neck and cast himself into the deepest sea. Because He said, do not stop the children from coming to me. And we need to take it seriously. But let's look today at that of all of us sitting here as children. And maybe some of your parents are no longer there. It makes no difference. We'll see why it doesn't make a difference in honoring your parents. How do you honor your parents even if they are dead? The health of a nation is directly proportional to the health of the family. You know why? Because God introduces Himself to us as a father, as a parent. His first introduction to us is that I am your father. We sang that God, Father God. He introduces to us as a parent, and He puts a lot of onus on that. And He introduces Himself to us first through parents. And our response to them determines how we will fit into society. How we are in the family will also determine how we will be outside. You need to realize so many nice people you meet out on the street. They were nice, very polite, everything. But at heart, they are what is called anarchists. They don't come under any law. You know why? Because when they grew up, their parents came under no law. And that's what they saw. And that's what they grew up into. And all those young people who are not yet married, get the message straight away. Okay? Parenthood is not a joke. It's probably the most serious occupation on planet Earth. And don't let them deride fatherhood or motherhood. It's a very serious business. Very, very serious with God. And God says, dishonor to parents will cost children dearly in later life. If you dishonor your parents, He says it will cost you. It will cost children, it will cost a nation. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 17. The eye that mocks a father, that scorns obedience to a mother, will be pecked out by ravens of the valley, will be eaten by the vultures. Now that's a tough word. Basically what it says is, you dishonor your parents, your end will be terrible. Either in this life or in eternity. And as a nation, Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel 22, verse 7. In you, they have treated father and mother with contempt. They have treated father and mother with contempt. And come to verse 15, judgment for them. I will disperse you among the nations and scatter you through the countries, and I will put an end to your uncleanness. This is the judgment over Israel. One of the reasons Israel failed is because those people treated their parents with contempt. And Jesus will talk about that in Mark 7. The traditions of your father, and he kept to those traditions, and they have dishonored your parents. There is Grimm's fairy tales. There is an interesting story. There is a young couple, a man and his wife and a little toddler. And the man's father is in the house. The man is old. So every time he eats, his hands shake. And when his hands shake, he keeps making a rattle over the plates, over the cups, over the saucers. And the son and the daughter-in-law says, "You disturb us while we are eating. So you sit in the corner and eat." So they put him a table in the corner in the kitchen, and that's where he used to sit and eat with his mom. Very sad, because he wanted to be part of the family, but he was a disturbance to them now. And then one day while he's eating, his hand shakes and his bowl falls down and breaks. And the daughter-in-law says, "You eat like a pig, so you need a trough." And they get a wooden trough for him and says, "You eat from that." One day they see the little fellow play, and he's playing with a few blocks of wood. And the father asks, "What are you making?" He says, "I'm making a trough for you to feed you when you grow up old." And the father was back at the table by evening. No, we don't realize it. We are putting ideas into their heads how to treat us when we grow old one day. How we grow old one day. And we need to be very, very careful. Very, very careful about how we deal with our father, because scripture says, God cannot be mocked. What you sow, you will reap. If this is what is sowed in your relationship with your parents, God says, when the times come for you, your children, you will reap a harvest from your children. Children, honoring parents, there are three stages. I want to look at the stages carefully. And when I come to a child, I was thinking, God, whom do I use as an example in the Bible? And I found there was only one I could find, whom I could use as a child's response to his parents, and that was our Lord Jesus himself. I want you to turn first with me to Ephesians chapter 6, where you see the great apostle repeating the commandment in the book of Exodus. Chapter 6, verse 1. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and you may enjoy long life on earth." Stage 1 is what we call enforced obedience or unconditional obedience. There is a stage in a child's life where no questions are asked. You do because I told you. You don't have to give an explanation to a 5-year-old or a 4-year-old. But that's what it has come to today because of all the psychologists from the secular world. They say they have changed entirely what the Word of God says. But God demands an unconditional obedience from small children. You don't have to tell them why. You don't have to explain to them. You know why? Because when you grow up, there will be times when God will tell you things which you have to do, which you will not understand. And you will obey because you learned it at home. You don't have to know everything. But what dad tells me when I'm 4 years old is always right. It's good for me. There is a stage in life, what we call enforced obedience. And the simple statement, obey there, reflects this stage. The second stage is what is mentioned in Ephesians 2 and 3. Honor your father and mother. This is what is called willing obedience or willful obedience. You willingly obey. And when you come to stage 3 of when you are an adult, it is Ephesians 5 and verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. There is Ephesians 5 and verse 21. That is the third stage. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Where now you are an adult and you listen to your parents and the parents also listen to you. Stage 1, no questions asked. That's why there is nothing mentioned about Jesus in stage 1. The grace of God was upon him and he grew favor with God and with man, and there was unconditional obedience from Jesus to his parents. We see stage 2 in Luke chapter 2. About stage 1, just one verse is there, that is verse 40. And the child grew, became strong, he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now they are taking him to Jerusalem. He's 12 years old. Every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. At 12 years old, a Jewish boy enters into stage 2. The term is Bar Mitzvah. Bar Mitzvah is the term. Yeah, it's a big ceremony. That's when he enters into stage 2. And when he enters into stage 2, Jesus puts into practice whatever his parents have taught him the first 11 years. What is that? Honor God, honor God, honor God. And they set a model before him how to honor God, so that in stage 2, they finished the feast, they went back, he's still at his father's house honoring God as he has learned at home. And that's why when they come and they ask, why did you do this? He's surprised. This is what you always taught me, that you honor my father. I am here in my father's house. But look at that term. After that he went. Look at verse 48. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. 49. Why were you searching for me? He asked. Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Luke 2:49. Look at 51. This is the second stage. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. Stage 2. Now this is a willing obedience from him. He went back, the Son of God. Now you got problems with your earthly fathers. I'm telling you, here is the righteous one, the Son of God, with two earthly imperfect parents. And it is written, stage 2 of his life. He's now going to be a teenager. He's a teenager, starting his 13th year. And he goes and he willingly submits to their authority. It's no longer enforced obedience, it's willing obedience, he willingly. But willing obedience will come only if two things happen. One, you have taught them enforced obedience and you have walked as a role model for them. We leave these footprints in the sands of time without realizing there are toddlers following us and trying to keep their little feet on those footprints. So you be very careful the steps you take, because there are little ones who are following you. And once 1 and 2, the model you set before them and the enforced discipline takes place, you will see step number 2 takes place automatically. There is a willing obedience. There is a willing obedience. Even if they stray at points during their crisis period, they will come back to God. So you will see all of Billy Graham's children are in the ministry. They had their problems, but they all came back, because when they look back, there was a model set for them which was powerful. Where their father and their mother honored God and enforced discipline. And when sought willing discipline, because of the pressure of their peer group, some of them went astray, but they all came back. Because the model that was set to them was very powerful. And you need to realize all this idol worship which we are not talking about images, we are talking about Indian idol, teen idol, heroes and Sachins and Bachchans and all this, is because people want a role model. Everybody wants a role model, that's why they survive well. But God said that's not the role model, they are not your role models. Your role model should be at home, dad and mom.
are the ones who are called to be the role models, powerful role models.
And he says, they become your role models and the children follow them.
But here God is talking about willful obedience.
When you are in that stage, you come to a point where you obey them unconditionally. Step number three, you move into adulthood. And when you move into adulthood, the parents cannot demand obedience. That is John chapter 2 at the wedding of Cana. Son, I got a problem over here. What's got that to do with you, mom? Mom, what's got that got to do with you? The mom understands. Ephesians 5:21, submit to one another. So mom comes, servants, you go to him and you do whatever he tells you. Stage number three. Are you getting it? Are you getting it? Because when you reach adulthood, God holds you responsible for your decisions. And you need to obey God. That's the first two stages. Your parents have taught you how to hearken to the voice of God. That's the whole process of parenthood. The entire sum total of parenthood is to how to make a young child and a teenager learn to hear from God and walk that road. They don't mark it for him or her all their life. They teach and then they let him or her free. So now when Jesus steps into his ministry, he steps away from the family. And after that, whenever there is a conflict, you will see he stands up there. Blessed is the womb that gave birth to you. He said, no, blessed is the one who obeys God. Your mother and your brothers have you come. He said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? All that who do the will of God is my mother and brother. You will see step three coming in. There is no unconditional obedience. And especially when you get married, the second commandment in the Bible in Genesis chapter 2 is that old covenant is broken of a child with his parents. A new covenant begins. For this purpose, man shall leave, the breaking of a covenant, his father and mother, and he shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one. You separate from what is called your household to your home. Now your priority is home and not household. And you need to understand, especially in India, mothers, fathers sitting here, you need to understand that when your children are married, let go. The surgeon in the surgeon or the gynecologist or the nurse in the labor room will cut the physical umbilical cord. But in India, the spiritual umbilical cord is never cut. Even after marriage, you want to control their lives, which God says is not right. But he never says at any point of time you can stop honoring your parents. Honoring your parents never stops. Obeying is within the will of God. Honoring is the will of God right from the beginning till the last day. It is the will of God, and that is something which you need to work at seriously. I'm telling you this because we'll come to that later. For those so many people who have come from homes, not ideal homes, where parents were not what they should have been, maybe they were abused, maybe they were abandoned, you had a terrible experience as a child or as a teenager with parents whom you never understood. And we will see what God says to that set of children. It's there in the Bible what he says to that set of children who lost because of the role model their parents set before them. But before we come to that, let's see what God tells about how you deal with parents. Proverbs 19 verse 26. I want you to mark that in your Bible because this is connected with living long in the land God shall give you. Verse 26. He who robs his father and drives out his mother is a son who brings shame and disgrace. And Proverbs 23. Verse 22. Listen to your father who gave you life. Do not despise your mother when she is old. Have you robbed your father? Have you robbed your mother? Oh no, I haven't robbed anything. Maybe many people have this testimony that I stole from mama's bag when I was a teenager and all. But other than that, I haven't robbed. But that's not what God is talking about. Have you robbed them of the respect and the honor they deserve? Have you robbed them of the respect and the honor they deserve?
How do you deal with them? How do you talk to them? Have you robbed them? Because they deserve honor. God said, honor your father and mother. Have you robbed them of that? Have you despised them? Because now they are old and they had only class 10 pass, but now you got so many degrees after your name, and you look down at them because of their ignorance. I had to deal this year after year, month after month, especially in Bhutan, because there was this new generation growing up in institutions and all their parents were illiterate. And I had to tell them over and over again, you mess up with your parents, you mess up with your life. You just can't afford to look down upon them, because they never knew that you need to bathe. They were a generation who didn't know what a soap was. They didn't know there was toothbrush and toothpaste. They never went to school. They didn't know about hygiene. They didn't know about how to cook their food. You dare to look down upon them and dishonor them, because now you got education, doesn't change your position. You run into trouble with God, because whether you, they're all Buddhists. They're all Buddhists. Whether you like it or not, whether you know it or not, there is a God who is living and real, who has said, honor your father and mother. And don't despise your father. Don't rob your father and your mother of the respect they deserve. You need to love them graciously. I was talking to somebody yesterday who called me up from another city, and I found it an interesting coincidence, because the problem was again about old parents. You know, I don't like what my mother does. I don't understand what she does. She's very stubborn. She's this thing. I said, hang on. When people grow older, there's a reversal that takes place. Okay? When we were all small and crawling around and learning to walk, whatever we did, they excused us. They never condemned us. They never shouted us down. They never said, oh, you are all the time messing up the floor. You lie in that dirt. They never said that. Now there is a, they always sympathized, they always laughed at us, they always had the patience to deal with us. When parents grow older and older, some of them become senile. It's now our time to be patient with them. Some of them will talk. All they want is somebody to hear. You don't have to approve of what they say, just listen. Once in a while, sometimes my mother will say, why are you sitting there and grunting? Because I'll say, I will be doing something else busily, but she is going on talking. And she just wants somebody to hear. Just listen. Okay. And you need to realize, you don't have to start a fight with your mother. I don't agree with what you say, because last week Pastor James said, this is the way the truth is. Just keep quiet. Just keep quiet. You don't have to fight an argument. You don't have to win an argument. Just love them graciously the way they loved us when we knew nothing. Because so many of you are here whose parents are unbelievers. And they might have very strong opinions. Just keep quiet. God only can change opinions. We can't change opinions. Only God can change. So just be gracious with them. Just respect them. Just honor them. Just be gracious with them. Give them a listening ear. Many of them need that. Somebody just to talk on and on and on. Amen. Speak lovingly. Proverbs 20:20. If a man curses his father or mother, his lamp will be snuffed up out in pitch darkness. He says, God says, if your conversation towards your parents or grandparents is in a manner that is dishonorable, you will live in darkness. You know what darkness is talking about? He's talking about a moral and a spiritual darkness where you will not hear the voice of God. You may think we have everything, but you will be living in darkness. And we don't want that. We don't want that. You need to meet their needs. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Verse 4. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, they should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. It's not just parents, it's grandparents also. Now God says it's time for you to
Social security was never invented by God. It was invented by a secular world because children grew up and refused to take responsibility of taking care of their parents. When a rebellious generation grows up, you need old age homes because they will dump their parents at the doorstep. Am I right, sister? Many of those parents are educated, headmistresses, teachers, all living in government old age homes. And how much does the government give every day? 12 rupees for their breakfast, lunch and dinner. And they were dumped there by their children. That's not God's. So welfare system is not God's. God says, now it's the time of children to take care of the parents. It's the other way around. He says, now you need to, they took care of you now. You need to honor them and meet their needs. You need to take care of them. And that includes in-laws. We have that problem. But I will say, where is it said? I'll tell you where it is said. It is said, God said, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. They shall no longer be two, they shall be one. If you are one with your wife, so is her family. Her parents are your parents, and your parents are her parents. When Jethro came to meet the lawgiver, Moses, you know how Moses received him? He went down on his knees and bowed and received his father-in-law. And you know how others received their parents? Turn with me to 1 Kings. Wisest man who ever lived, who turned out a little fool at the end, but in his time, he was considered even today one of the wisest men who ever lived. 1 Kings chapter 2. Verse 19. When Bathsheba went to meet King Solomon to speak to him for Adonijah, not in the bedroom, in the court, the king stood up to meet her. 1 Kings chapter 2 verse 19. Stood up to meet her. Bowed down to her and sat down on his throne. He had a throne brought for his mother, kings, for the king's mother, and she sat down at his right hand. Now this is a king in the court where he is king even of his mother. But when his mother came in, he got up, he bowed, and he sat down as a king, and then he said, let a throne be brought, let her sit at my right hand. The examples which God has set there in the Bible, how you treat your parents, you may differ, you may have different opinions, you may not agree with all they say, but there is something which you cannot bypass. You cannot bypass honoring them. You cannot bypass honoring them. Now, what if you had a very bad childhood? How do you honor parents whom you feel, though, are not worthy to be honored? My father was a drunk. My mother was never there. I hear this all the time. And you know why I'm like this? It's because of my parents. They never did the right thing by me. And you have terrible, abusive parents today. Terrible, abusive parents today. And some parts here, we think, oh, India is fine, it's because nothing comes out. It's not better here. I can tell you stories that will make you sick, which happened as recent as maybe 3 or 4 weeks back. Now hold on to your seats. This is a 9-year-old girl living with her mother and her mother's boyfriend. And a 9-year-old daughter had to sleep with her mother's boyfriend. And at the dining table, she had to one day sit there, and she wanted to go to the bathroom, and they said, you will not get up from there. And because she couldn't hold anymore and she urinated over there, they held her by force and rubbed her nose in the urine. And she caught an infection, ended up in the hospital, and the case came out, and both the mother and the boyfriend are in the prison today, and she is in the government custody. Now what do you tell a child like that? Because we face cases where people come and say, are you telling me I need to honor a mother or a father who did it to me? God says yes. God says yes. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 27. Deuteronomy 27 verse 16, Exodus 20 verse 12 are two sides of the spectrum. Absolute two sides of the spectrum. Did you see? What does it say? It's no longer honor your father and mother, it's something else. Yes, Vijay.
Cursed be he that setteth light by his father or mother.
Cursed be he. It's no longer honor. Cursed be he who dishonors his father or his mother, and then all the people shall say Amen. Later Joshua had to put it into practice. There are two mountains called Ebal and Gerizim, and the children of Israel are going to stand there in the middle in the camp, and one said here, one said, and they're going to read out these curses, and the people shall say Amen. Blessings and curses, and you choose. Later when they conquer the land, they will have this entire process where the whole new generation stands there in the valley and the blessings and the curses are pronounced, and all the people say Amen. We agree to this. Exodus 20:12 is the set of people who have been brought out of Egypt. 600,000 men and women and children beside, maybe 2 million people are there. After a travel of around 3 months, they have come to Mount Sinai, and there God is giving them the commandments. Honor your father and mother. It will be good for you, for you shall live long in the land God shall give you. Deuteronomy 27:17 is at the end of 40 years. The original commandment, the one to the parents to whom the commandments were given, all of them are dead. All of them are dead. Only three of the old generation is alive: Moses, Joshua and Caleb. And here is millions of them, hundreds and thousands of a new generation who has got every reason to dishonor their parents because they lost 40 years of their lives because of the disobedience of their parents. These children, if they were 18 years old or 17 years old or 15 years old, could have entered the promised land 40 years ago. Now all of them are entering God's promised land at the age of 60, 65, 70. They are entering, and they look back. The only reason is, we didn't do anything wrong. Our parents disobeyed God. They rebelled against God. To that generation, God is saying, your parents may be dead, but even in your memory you dishonored them, you will be cursed. You will be cursed. The parents are no longer alive. They are dead. Says, you open your mouth and you dishonor your parents, let you be and your household be cursed. You need to realize that's how God looks at it. Because this is a generation whose parents are no longer there. It's a generation who lost, if we were to lose 40 years of our life because of a mistake somebody else made, how would we feel? And this is a new generation. They could have entered and built up their career, their houses and their flocks and stocks and whatever, that they could have done it 40 years and settled down. 40 years, what did they do? Just wander around in circles under a hot desert sun. That's what they did. What did they eat? The same food 3 times a day for 40 years. What did they wear? The same set of clothes for 40 years. What did they wear on their feet? The same set of sandals for 40. There was nothing new in their life. They couldn't even get a birthday present when they had their birthday because there was nothing to buy or give them. No shopping, no fun, nothing, going around for 40 years because of the mistake of their parents. To that generation, God is saying in Deuteronomy 27, dishonor them and you will be cursed. Dishonor them, you will be cursed. And we need to realize, we are living in a generation that is rebellious. I'm not talking about the young people here, they're all good. But we are talking about a generation who will not accept order, who will not accept authority, who will not take advice. And they are all, especially in the West, waiting for the magical age of 18 just to get out of the house, though I don't have to listen to you anymore. You know what? The chaos we are facing, it all started at home, where the enemy's lie was swallowed by the father and the mother, and they became gods and refused to honor God in their homes. And they brought up a generation who grew up and decided, we are not going to honor our parents. It all begins at home or ends there. And God is saying, you have a generation over here. You have a generation over here. A lot of young people over here. You can choose.
you can choose whether you're going to honor your father and mother. And those of you who are father or mother or both parents, don't believe, it's no excuse. You will choose to honor them. There have been kids who come from Hindu or other backgrounds who come to me and say, how long should I obey my father? I say, as long as you live in his house and he puts the bread on your table, you will obey him, even if you are above 18. 18 is not a magical age. If you are being fed by him, you will listen to him. If he tells you don't go to church, you don't go to church. Otherwise, praise God, help me to move out. Now I'm over 18 of God, help me to move out and stand on my feet. Then you can disobey them without dishonoring them. Yet when you talk back to them, you need to be very careful about the way you talk and the tone you use. I'm talking to you from personal life because I had a very tough time with my mom. Very rough time. And I was wrong in certain areas about dishonoring her. And I didn't know what to do about it. All I could do was that, like it was a door that was slammed. All I could do was pray, Lord, do something. There has to be something to be done, something to be done. And finally, I don't know whether God saw my heart, he worked a miracle. He did it in the most strange way. 2 years back, my mother fell very seriously. She needed a major operation. It was a 10-hour operation. Now most of our children are doctors. Everybody came down. But my mother told my sister, I don't want anybody beside me. I want my youngest son. And I said, Lord, thank you. There I was with her for 12 days in the hospital. Even the daughters were kept out. She said, I don't want you to stay with me. The nurses and the doctors said, you are a lady. You will not be able to get up from your bed. You are old and it's good to have a doctor. She said, no, my son will take care of me. He took care of his father when he was dying and he will take care of me. I don't want my daughters. 12 days I sat with her and I treated her like a baby, cleaning her up, giving her the bedpan, everything. And the doctors and nurses were saying, what is this strange? This is a man and this is a lady. I said, I got no problem. But you know what? That 12 days was one of my happiest days in my life. That 12 days God took and put everything. We talk to her every day. I mean, practically every second day I call her. She's far away. But you know, we talk to her the way you talk to a child. So I don't dishonor her. I call her and say, how is mama child doing? And she'll talk for a long time. She'll tell me what all is happening. But there was a crisis. And I also know from personal experience in the family, we are five. And of the five of us, the one who honored his parents most was the second son. Now my niece is here, my children are here, but I will tell you, they don't know the family background. Of the five of us, my elder brother, the second one, honored his parents. I cannot think about any time whether he ever raised his voice with the parents, ever. He was always loving and kind, and he was not a believer. Always good to them, even down till today, you wouldn't even dare to dishonor his mother or say anything negative to her or raise his tone. And he's been always good to her. And I saw God working miracles in his life, though he doesn't believe. Because this is not connected saying, children of God, if you honor your father, it's for everybody. It's for everybody. If you are Hindu or a Muslim or a Christian, you honor your father and mother, God says you will be blessed. Salvation is a free gift, but you will be blessed. He just skip through everything, finish his engineering. He went to Ghaziabad in the 80s to do an engineering job, first with this television company that makes television tubes. It's from him I realized that every time he goes to see mama, he will buy gifts for her, sari. So those days, young boy, engineering, this is just 21, 22 years old. Then suddenly something happens. The engineering company has got a collaboration with Mitsubishi. They picked up all the younger ones and him alone from the senior batch and sent him to Japan. He's there in 2 years in Japan. All the others came back. This guy learned Japanese. He got admission into Tokyo International University. But he had no money to pay. Those days you don't even get a bank loan in the 80s. And there he goes to a restaurant and he's sitting over there in the restaurant and he's talking to some Japanese guy. And the Japanese guy says, where are you from? And he speaks in Japanese. And he says, I'm from India. I'm going back very soon.
But I got admission, but we can't afford. He said, what's it? And he said, I'd we do this. He gave a card and said, you come and meet me sometime next week. He dropped in next week and the man paid his entire fees. Just wrote a check and gave it to him. And I'm telling you, this has got nothing to do with him. I have told him. I directly don't tell him. I tell it through my niece's sister who believes. I tell her, you tell him. This is all because you honored your parents and you, without realizing, obeyed God. And from there, it has never stopped for him. He just seems to like walk up the pedestals of the career. And we will be thinking, alright, he has never heard the prosperity gospel. He has never claimed and stood and confessed and nothing. All he did was honor his father and mother. He never tithed. He never gave an offering in his life. He's never done, walked into a church for probably 20 years. Yet, he seems to be just going on. And you know what? I found that his children really honor him and love him. He just walked into his career peak. He now heads the Japanese division of Chorus Asia. And when this little boy from the one hip town in Kerala comes to India, he sits in the board meeting with Ratan Tata. All, you know what he did? He just honored his father and mother. That's all he did. You go back and I look back and read his life, I can understand. The others studied more than him. He struggled, they burned him at night. This guy wouldn't study, he would go for every sport, every game that was in town. What did he do that was different from the rest of us? I look back, I can see only one thing. He honored, because before my father died also, he said one thing. Only one child of mine has never talked back to me. That is the second one. My mother said the same thing. Of the five children I have, only one child has never talked back to me. That is the second one. And you see, the blessings are following you. There's this tremendous advantage of honoring your father and mother. The thing is that you shall live long in the land the Lord shall give you. So I don't know how your home was, your family was, but I want you to stand up today. I want to stand up in the presence of God. This is a time, especially if your parents are no longer there. Parents have passed away. Your parents are no longer there. This is the day you need to make peace with them. See, there are things that have been released in the spiritual realm which stands there. And you need to open your mouth and ask the Lord of forgiveness for His forgiveness. It's no longer you ask your father and mother who is dead. No, you ask God. Because dishonoring your parents is dishonoring Him, because He is the one who said it. But today, we as children stand before Him and say, Lord, give me the grace that even in my thoughts, in my memory, to honor my father and mother. To honor my father and mother. Even when I don't agree with them. Even when I know what they are saying is wrong. Father, give me the grace to honor them. Because this is your commandment. Everything else that I might become in life is around this. It's stayed around this one. Shall we pray? You can pray along with me. Father God, I stand in your presence today. Whatever my age, I stand here before you as a child. And Father, I seek your forgiveness. Father, for every time that I have dishonored my father or my mother, or even my grandparents, Father, I seek your forgiveness. I seek your forgiveness, O God. And Father, I pray that you give me the grace to honor them in my thoughts, in my words, and in my actions, that all will go well with me and with my children. Lord, if I have planted a wrong seed, I cancel it out in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, in my life I will not harvest that. I will only harvest a life of peace and a home where my children will honor me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Father, even as we stand in your presence this morning, we thank you for your word, O God. Father, you are the original Father. You are the one who introduces yourself to us as Father and Mother. You are the one who said, even if your mother forgets you, I will not. You are our spiritual, heavenly father and mother. And you gave us earthly parents, O God. And we want to thank you today for them, O God, for both of them. We thank you for their sacrifice, O God, for whatever they gave up so that we could have a life, O God. The reason we are here today is because of them, O Master. And we want to tell you, Father, we thank you so much. And we want to bless them, O God, all our parents who are alive. We want to bless them in your name, O God. We want to bless them in your name, O God. Let them be blessed in their old age. We speak strength into their bodies.
Hallelujah.
We speak peace and joy into their hearts, O Master. And Father, we make a commitment, O God. We will take care of their well-being. We will take care of their well-being, O God. Doesn't matter what our income is, O God. If it's 100 rupees, if it's 200 rupees, Father, we will take care of their well-being, O God. Because they took care of us when we had nobody, O Master. We thank you, we praise you, God. As your people go into a new week, may the presence of God go with them, God, and keep them and protect them, Master. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We worship you, God. Thank you. For in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with each one of us.